B-Pod Studios.
Sports up. Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
To me, now it gives them a conversation to be, can they beat Kansas City? And the way they have to play, can they beat Kansas City? I think that's the ultimate. I think a lot of it's going to come down to their kicker, how good he is, because he's a rookie. It's also going to come down to how good those young players are on defense. And if they can add another defensive lineman or somebody in there to give them a little bit more girth, I think they can.
You can all use more girth.
Apparently that's more important than length. It's girth, is what they say. You know. By the way, they are not going to compete at all with Kansas City. That's just not going to happen.
I mean, Cam Newton would have to be Cam Newton of 2015. I mean, he would have to be...
I don't even know if that matters.
You see, if he was... Because, I mean, Cam Newton in 2015 was special. Like, that was fun to watch. He was...
Until he wouldn't fall on balls.
But he'd have to be that, which nobody believes he's going to be. I think that there's a chance that he could be 75% of that, I think, if he's healthy.
Who's he going to throw to?
Well, that's... I keep saying that. There's so many question marks, but the question marks could go in the right direction. Mohamed Sanu, when healthy, is reliable. Julian Edelman, still one of the best slot receivers in the game. We don't know what N'Keal Harry is, but he is a first-round pick and hopefully can play like a first-rounder. So there's potential there, but... There's too many unknowns. I don't know anything about these tight ends.
I'll tell you right now, guys, like Cam Newton played with less in Carolina than he will here. Like Mohamed Sanu, granted the foot injury, that guy's been productive. N'Keal Harry is still, I know he's a question mark, but I think he can play. And then you got Edelman. He never had a receiver like Edelman in his life, ever. The tight ends is something they'll work on. This kid, Devin Asiasi from UCLA, was pretty...
I love Asiasi.
I like him. The only reason why I say it is he had 13 catches versus USC last year in a game against UCLA, which I bet. And I remember him being very good. But this Dalton Keene dude, you guys are going to love him. They call him Rambo. He can play a little fullback, play a little tight end as well. Like, again, they're going to be a team that packs it in. 2-3 tight ends. They're going to put a fullback of Vitale in there. They're going to run the football this year, but they're going to throw out of those sets and how athletic Cam Newton will be. He's going to be able to find guys. And one thing that he can do, and here we go, Brady versus Newton, right? Cam Newton can throw a deep ball. That's one thing that he can definitely do. Is there guys who can go out there and run? That's going to be the question. Yeah, but I think Cam Newton has played with less in Carolina than what he has in New England here. I think they can be pretty productive.
I mean, he had guys that could stretch the field, though. I mean,
Philly Brown could run. I know, you know, Funchess could do his thing as well. But
well, no, and Ginn Jr.
Ted Ginn was a speedster, no doubt. Ginn. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. He was a top 10 pick. Oof.
Yeah.
Return specialist, I believe, at Ohio State.
I need you, Joe Murray, or Fred, if you know about this, to fill me in, because I heard this narrative yesterday, and I don't know if this is just a narrative that was willed into existence, but all I had heard for the past couple of months was how hard Jared Stidham has been working, about how the chemistry between him and the rest of the offense was off the charts. He'd been working out with Julian Edelman. He'd been working out with all of these guys. He'd been staying in contact with people who were out of the state, like Mohamed Sanu, and he was just a guy who seemed like a great team leader. And now all of a sudden yesterday we get this narrative that the reason that Cam Newton is now a member of the New England Patriots is because Jared Stidham was a slacker. And Jared Stidham apparently went to a wedding instead of being like Tom Brady and staying home and working out with his teammates. Where the hell did that narrative come from? Who created that narrative? Was that our own station that threw that out there? And why did we not hear anything about that until just yesterday that Stidham was now a slacker all of a sudden?
I mean, you got to sign a free agent quarterback if you got a guy that's going to a wedding.
I mean, it's like all I'd heard up to this point. And if anyone knows where this originated, was this like a... Did that come from our own station, or was that somewhere else? 617-779-0985.
Because that might have all been of a sudden, the brick.
Oh, maybe the brick. Listen, if you got bricked, then you got to take it.
He won the first smack off.
Yeah, I think it may have been this the station, but supposedly Stidham went to a wedding for 2 weeks. He was gone at a wedding for 2 weeks. That's
what is up at nuptials?
Hang on. So this all of a sudden was something that pissed off Belichick so much that he goes, damn it, he's just not ready for big time. He's just not ready for the big time.
Listen, I said this to you guys yesterday. If Stidham beats out Cam Newton for the starting job, the Patriots will still be good. Again, and you guys have mentioned it. The Patriots fans should probably root for it. For Stidham here, but this is the deal. The deal is Cam Newton decided to take a deal for $1 million.
Yes!
They got him at the contract they wanted for.
This has nothing to do with Jared Stidham going to a wedding and not trying hard. And it has to do with you got a guy who could potentially be playing at a, I don't want to say MVP caliber, a guy who was once an MVP fairly recently for the price of buying a box of donuts. Like, you got him for nothing. Absolutely nothing. He fell into your lap. Now, that was very smart of the Patriots to sit and wait. If they indeed wanted the guy, they knew the price, they knew the market out there. Good on them. But you're telling me the reason that they got him was because Jared Stidham is just this ne'er-do-well. He's like sitting on his couch, I don't know, like a grandma's boy, smoking weed, playing video games, going to these weddings.
Ripping bong hits. What is up with Stidham at the destination wedding? 2 weeks seems like overkill.
Quarantining.
Having to quarantine. More like Ovaltine. Which doesn't make any sense.
Brittany Shears.
JT the Brick won the first smack off, then turned his back on me. Repping never being on during the day.
Regrow your drug-free lettuce.
I'm sure that no one else has taken a two-week break in the offseason.
The whole thing about Stidham was that he was the whole narrative on Stidham from everyone, from his coaches at Auburn to everyone, was that he was like a film nerd.
Yeah, everyone loved this guy. I mean, how many think pieces did we read about how he's putting in the work, not just the work on the field, but also the relationship part of it, like getting to know all of the players. I mean, all we heard was praise of this guy. And all of a sudden yesterday, it's, they brought in Cam Newton because Stidham is lazy. And I don't know where that came from. As I said, I don't know if it was our own station that threw that out there. And good for them, because it's got me talking about it, I guess. But it was, I don't know if that was just something that was thrown into the universe to make you accept that there's some sort of more extra genius reason that Bill Belichick brought him in, or to create some sort of controversy that's not even there. I don't know.
Boston smear campaign, man. Whenever something doesn't go right or someone leaves town, that's always what happens, right?
But he's still here. But he's like, yeah. Here. Yeah. Like, the reason is so simple why they have Cam Newton. Well, they had a crap backup quarterback in Brian Hoyer, so you would need another quarterback anyway. They've been talking about this for a while. And on top of all of that, it happens to be Cam effing Newton pennies.
So read Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal yesterday. He basically writes that the Patriots knew that one quarterback basically wasn't going to get a job this year, and they were going to hold out to see if that quarterback would take literally the minimum. It could have been Andy Dalton. It could have been anybody. It just happened to be Cam Newton, who was like, okay, I'll take the $1 million and play for the Patriots. So one quarterback was not going to get paid, and it just happened to be Cam Newton. The problem was nobody could identify his foot injury. Because of this pandemic, no one knew how bad the foot was. It was Bill Belichick that went around and asked. You know, he's got that great relationship with Norv Turner. And when it came down to it, it was, all right, yeah, I'll take the $1 million to play here. It's a steal for the Patriots. But it wasn't like some orchestrated, yeah, like, we're going to, it just, nobody else wanted Cam Newton. And the Patriots are like, hey, for $1 million, let's take him.
All right, Dan's got some inside info. What is this, Dan?
Not so much info, but last week on Felger and Maz, there was a post by
Jared Stidham's wife on Instagram saying that they were going to Texas for a couple of weeks for a wedding, and that instantly turned into, well, he's not here. Look at Brady. Brady's now fully embedded in Florida and all that, and it turned into this narrative of, well, because Stidham's wife is close with, I think it's Belichick's wife and the whole family, but that he'd gone off to Texas for a couple of weeks to go to this wedding, that he wasn't fully committed to, like, staying here and grinding it out.
Oh, jeez. So, all right.
Gotta love the gram.
Now, who the hell goes to a wedding for 2 weeks is all I want to know. That seems like a very expensive affair.
Wouldn't you want to get in and out of Texas as fast as possible?
No, but just if you're throwing the wedding, 2 weeks.
Maybe it's the quarantine they want to. Because what happens if he goes to a wedding, comes home, and like he's out practicing and he didn't follow the laws? I think they're just saying that for the 2 weeks to clear his name. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a world-class scam going on there. All right, we will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up?
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich. Going to dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Nutting at 5, The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. By the way, Mike Lockhart informing us that Bobby Bonilla makes $1.2 million today.
Oh, today's a national holiday, guys.
Bobby Bonilla Day. He started in 2011, getting almost $1.2 million, and it goes through 35. Wow. Unbelievable.
Every July 1st until 2035.
$1,193,248.20 is how much he gets paid July 1st every year.
And he deferred money like two decades ago. $1.2 million he deferred. I think he got traded to the Mets. And something happened. I don't know if it was that Bernie Madoff thing or whatever. But, yeah, he retired, in 2001. And they avoided paying him $1.2 million, and it turned into basically $1.193 till 2035. He's 57 years old.
Now, if he dies, is it like the lottery? 57? You don't get your money?
Ooh, I don't know that one.
Wait, if you die and you won the lottery, you don't get your money?
No. I think that if you like end up putting it out for like 20 years, I don't think it goes to somebody else. I think if you die, you just don't get your lottery money.
Hey, Fred, did you know that he played for St. Louis in 2001?
I did not.
I had no clue either.
But everything that happened from about 93 to about 2003, I was unaware of. I kind of lived in a bubble. I wasn't really watching that much sports at that point in my life. I remember that I walked into the common room of my dorm my freshman year, and I went, oh, the Jets are in the playoffs. It's just, I had no idea. Because you know what I was doing? Trying to get laid. Chugging brews, ripping bong hits, getting laid, trying to get laid and failing, and then dating a girl for 2 years who eventually dumped me. And then I walked in the rain thinking that I was in a Bruce Springsteen video to 7-Eleven and bought cigarettes, and then walked around smoking in the rain, which is still one of the douchiest, cringe-inducing things that I can ever think of in my life. I just walked around like, ew, it just makes me sick to think of what I was doing. And then I would go to her dorm room, and then I would say,
you smoke the day's last cigarette.
That's exactly what I was. Like, I walked around, like, yeah, like smoking in the rain. And then I would go to her. I was thinking about this the other day, and then I would go to her dorm room. Yeah, exactly. This was the mood. I just had a sax player next to me, and I was I'm like, play the blues, baby. And then I would go to her dorm room and sleep in bed with her, and she would take her shirt off, and we wouldn't have sex, which was just an exciting time. So, yes, I did not handle that breakup well.
And then you'd head out back and light it up. Smoke rings in the dark.
Yeah. And then I'd watch Martin and, like, be so jealous of Martin and Gina.
What's up?
Yeah. I used to be, like, so jealous of their relationship, Gina and Martin, on the show, and that would depress me, and then I would light smokes in the rain and just be like,
I think we have this clip. Because, do you know why we have this clip in the system?
Why is that?
Remember years ago when Adolfo took up smoking?
Oh, yeah. And he announced it. Like,
he announced that he didn't know how to do it right. He was, like, smoking it as if he was, like, drinking a milkshake.
He didn't know how to inhale.
he was always like, guys, I got to go outside for a quick smoke break. Yeah. And you would see him outside, and he would put it right in the middle of his lips and suck on it like a... By the way, watching him try to light it was great. But once he, like, started sucking on it, he would hold it back, and he would look up into the sky and just...
He smoked it like a cigar. He had no idea. He had no idea how to smoke a cigarette.
That was one of the best... And that lasted, what... 3 days, maybe? Yeah. Smoker Adolfo?
Well, he was trying on different personalities. Smoker Adolfo.
Oh, God. I just said, for some reason, that all just came running back. And it was Dan who reminded me of my headphones. I completely forgotten. That's why we even had that. Because I was like, oh, yeah, the smoker song.
I was looking for it the same time you were. Couldn't find the code fast enough. Because I remember he would leave, and the phones would be ringing. I'm like, where is Adolfo? And then outside. I look out the window, and there he is.
He was coughing like,
I don't know why he'd be coughing. He wasn't inhaling. It just made his breath smell like smoke. But yeah, that's one of those cringy douche moments. I remember where I was, and she's like, she was hanging out with, like, these guys in this room, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? And she's like, Fred, I don't think we should see each other anymore. And I just was walked out of there, and I said, I can do better. And I started crying. No. I can do better. And then she said, Fred, we just need to take a break. And then I walked to 7-Eleven, bought some smokes, and just cruised the streets of Winter Park, Florida in the rain. The rain didn't bother me none. I could barely notice it.
Wow.
That broad broke my heart.
At least that was before social media, because you probably would have put something dumb on there, right? Like, I think of all the times I would have put something dumb on social media.
Oh, it would have been a disaster.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have begged her to come back to me. I would have tried to fight the guys that she was with, like, because I'd get drunk and try to fight the guys she was with, which I never did. But, yeah. But I would have on social media. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. I'd be putting up, like, poems.
Yeah, like the closest cringy thing I did was not quite social media, but almost as bad, and that was when my dog died. When my dog died, like, it was like my dog. I loved my dog, and it freaked me out. And I found this poem, and I just emailed it to a bunch of people. It was the Rainbow
Bridge.
You
emailed it to a lot of people. Yep. A lot of people, including me. And the Rainbow Bridge.
And by the way, I'll never, that's something that's, I will never apologize for how I felt when my dog died. Like, I've had family members die that they crushed me as much as my dog dying.
Yeah, but the Rainbow Bridge was something you should be ashamed of.
It was a miracle at the time. It was exactly the words that I needed to hear. It went right to my soul that the dogs don't die. They actually cross this Rainbow Bridge, and they go and they play with all the other dogs who have indeed crossed the Rainbow Bridge. It was soothing at the moment.
No, I assure you that they just die and decompose, and that's pretty much the end of that.
No, not really. Sweet Ruby. No. Roby. R-O-O-B-Y.
You didn't go out and get a pack of smokes? Maybe a bottle of Boone's Farm?
Did you buy a 40 and dump one out?
I remember I had a girl over in college, and like I'm gonna make you dinner, and it was like ramen soup and Boone's Farm wine, and I thought it was like the classiest thing I've ever done.
Oh, Boone's Farm, we used to get so smashed off that. I mean, it's like drinking sugar. It's like Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
essentially.
Well, it's like Manischewitz. It's thick. So yeah, I remember that's cringy that I did that. I just did such a douche.
But at least you were the only one for that, right? I mean, like Joe, you haven't like put anything on Facebook before when you were just at like a low moment, and then the next morning, like, oh boy, that came out wrong.
Not that I can recall, but I've probably done it. But nothing that I can recall. No,
I put a million things on not Facebook, but on Twitter that I regretted. But no. But if that would have existed when I got dumped by that girl, oh, it would have been something else.
Oh, I put some like bad song lyrics up before, and I'd be like, oh man, why did I do that?
Like in reference to a girl.
Like,
I don't know,
like, how's it gonna be lyrics from like Third Eye Blind or something, you know?
That's pretty bad. Like, that's pretty bad.
Oh, when I broke up, and I am not apologizing for this, but when I got dumped in high school, I found great solace in Every Rose Has Its Thorn. And I was already past like my hair metal thing.
Oh,
but
sure.
I had all these tapes, and I contend that that's a great breakup song. Every Rose Has Its Thorn, and I just remember listening to it over and over. I was so dumb. Do you remember, like, on the Ozzy album, they had that, like, classical guitar piece by Randy Rhoads?
It's D. D is called. Yeah.
I called a girl and told her that was me.
And you played it on the phone. Listen to the song I wrote for you.
Yeah. I mean, these girls must have thought I was schizophrenic.
Hey, did you guys, when you guys were in school, did you ever pass notes?
Oh, yeah. You guys all the time. Yeah.
So I one time, this is very embarrassing. I think I might have been in fifth grade, but I one time gave a girl a note with the Rump Shaker lyrics of, I like the way you comb your hair. I like the stylish clothes you wear. It's just the little things you do that makes me want to get with you. And as I'm thinking about it right now, that was pretty embarrassing.
All right. I mean, but there's something about doing it on social media to where you can screen cap it and all your friends can use it for the rest of their life to rip on you. I mean, has there ever been a situation where 617-779-0985, where you just put something on there and the very next morning went, oh my God, that was the most pathetic thing I could have possibly put on?
Like I said, I've said before, if people are putting super positive things about their marriage up, they're in big trouble. Like, they're trying to cover up for, like, that things are not going well at all.
Well, the worst thing about that is, like, when someone will put up there, like, if you do it once a year or something like that, like if it's on like your anniversary or like a birthday or something, that's fine. But I'm talking about the people who do it like three times a week. Like, my husband just drew me up a bath. Isn't he the greatest? There's rose petals. And to that, I always just say, why don't you just turn to your right and say, thank you, husband? And no, you don't have to thank him on social media.
I can name two people that got divorced that were doing just that. I can name two people, and you know them both, that were doing that. And I went, I guarantee you they're getting divorced, and they both did. They were overly, like, loving. I mean, who feels the need to do that?
It's the overpraise that you just go, all right, man, something's weird. Like, when you go that far into it, we don't need to know all that. Either that or you're trying to, like, tell your parents, hey, the guy that I married or the guy that I'm with is actually a good guy, and you're wrong. Like, there's a lot of, like, sub-tweeting or sub-posting that are trying to be, like, in your face, ex-boyfriend or something like that, that this guy is a great guy when you just go over the top.
All right, 617-779-0985. If we don't get any calls, we don't get any calls. This was not a planned bit, but, you know, next time you get a dump, just go out in the rain. Let us smoke. Let the rain fall on your head. And just be like, it doesn't even matter to me. I can't even feel the rain. All right, we'll be back here.
What do you say about that, Jim Irsay? What do you say? Jim Irsay's live version of Turn the Page.
There you go. It's needed to be heard. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Stuff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. This is the song that I played over the phone to a girl when I was in high school and said that I was playing it at the moment that we were talking.
And right there is where you totally shred.
And I'm sure she believed it, so that she was just head over heels with how great I was. That shows such a such self-confidence that you are that desperate to seem interesting that you say that you're Randy Rhodes, basically. Just such confidence. We were talking about how I got dumped by a girl in college and then went and got smokes at 7-Eleven and just started walking in the rain, smoking butts. Mm-hmm. And Rich... mentioned if it was the era of social media, I mean, I would have disgraced myself. It would have followed me around to this day. James on line 4. Go ahead, James.
Hey, guys. Hi.
Hey.
So I got dumped by this girl, and I had never been to the gym before. So I decided I'd get a gym membership, and then 2 days in, I wrote Beast in it at the gym on Facebook, and I got ripped apart by all my friends.
You've been beasting at the gym?
Beasting at the gym with like an exclamation point.
Yeah, you were letting her know that
what were your friends saying?
You were going to have the body.
What were your friends saying?
I got taken aside by one of my friends and he said, dude, you got to cut that out. And I just, as soon as you guys started talking about it, I said, yep, that's it.
Yeah. Well, at least you realize that unlike everyone who does CrossFit, who used to post, like, I remember that was like a thing. I don't know if that was part of the culture where they would encourage you to post things on social media about it, how many tires you flipped and how hard you went at CrossFit. But I mean, if you are on the timeline of someone, a friend who happened to discover that, it was the most like cringe-inducing thing ever. It was like, dude, check it out. CrossFit bros just hanging out. And well, you're like, all right, man.
P90X, and that was with Beachbody, like, and everyone was trying to sell you Beachbody stuff. I told you I went to a trainer, and then he kept trying to sell me Beachbody, and I went, dude, I'm paying you. Like, this is not a good strategy for your clients to try to sell them something on top of it.
Right.
You know, you're involved in a pyramid scheme. All right, Paul, 617-779-0985. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, when my girlfriend broke up with me, I posted a Bon Jovi "Thank You for Loving Me" music video to her Facebook wall.
Now, did you get
that go over? Like, what was the response?
I can't remember very clearly, but I can't imagine she was happy with that.
Yeah, let the words of Bon Jovi win you over.
Because the minute you post that, I guarantee you're sitting there. There's two things going through you. Probably the first one is like, what's she going to put back? What's she going to say back? And then after like an hour goes by, you're like, oh, that was the bad move. That was the worst move. I can't believe I did that. I can't take it down now.
No, it takes longer than that to realize what's going on. You're usually sitting there, and even if she doesn't get back to you, like, she knows you're a sensitive soul. That the words of John Bon Jovi resonate
and that you know that it was true love. Again, every rose has its thorn. That was just it for me. I probably thought I told girls a bunch of lies. I think I told girls I was in bands and just awful. Just deuce chills just thinking how little confidence I had. Frank, go ahead.
I'll tell you, I was listening to you guys, and I'm like, oh, I don't have Facebook anymore. I'm like, these guys are so douchey and cringy. And then all of a sudden, like a wave of emotion hit me, and I just remembered back in college when Facebook just came out, and it was still the Facebook. I wrote on a girl's wall for like a junior formal. I'd been like crushing on her for months, and I finally was like, you know what? I'm just going to, you know, write it on a wall. Will she come with me? And I sent it drunk one night. Waited for like up for 2 hours. She never responded. Went to bed. Woke up the next morning, and she hit me with the "I have a boyfriend." And I immediately wrote, "Oh, that was my friends. You know, they wrote that. I didn't do it." And I didn't go to school for a week after that.
Yeah. If there was Facebook, I don't know. I mean, the many things that I would have done, the lies I would have told. I mean, I told a girl I was playing Randy Rhoads, playing classical guitar. Do you know what must have been going through her head? I don't think I ever saw her again after that.
She's probably an Aussie fan herself and was like, dude, that's D. How great would it be if it rolled right into Suicide Solution, which I believe is the next track on that album.
But, I mean, what I just would have been so much better off just acting somewhat normal, but I just sat there. Like, first of all, this isn't even cool. And so, it's like she's like, wow, you're really good at classical guitar.
Like, right. Did you do that over the phone?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's so great. I wonder if she heard the click of the cassette.
Rich, I'm going to guess that she knew I was lying. I'm just going to take a wild guess and realize that at 16 that I wasn't an accomplished classical guitarist. God, I did stuff like that all the time. I used to say I was in bands. I used to tell girls I was in the Descendants. I used to... I told one girl that I was in the Descendants, and I was mispronouncing... And she knew them. It was in Hilton Head, and I was mispronouncing the guy's name that I said I was.
Oh, my God.
So I got caught there.
Did you ever... See, I knew a guy who looked a lot like Vin Diesel. Like, a lot like Vin Diesel. And he used to have his friends tell girls that he was Vin Diesel when he was in clubs, and it actually worked once. Because usually, you know, you would get up close and be like, all right, well, you're not Vin Diesel. But, you know, it's late enough. People have had enough to drink, and this guy completely hooked up with a girl because she thought she had hooked up with Vin Diesel.
Yeah, that seems like kind of, like, rapey.
Like, you know, it doesn't sound like the best thing in the world.
No, I mean, like, it's one thing to say that you're in the Descendants. It's another thing to say you're a movie star. I mean, like, if just like I'm in a band, and then, you know, they, first of all, it never worked. And second of all, not much worked. One summer I was in Hilton Head, and I met this girl, and we wrote letters back and forth. And I was so excited because I was going back to Hilton Head the next summer, and I brought my friend, and she immediately ski pulled us. And I went, oh, my God. Like, I spent a whole year communicating with this girl. And so I got out of the tub. And then I knew it was a true friend because he got out, too. And he was like, that was weird. And I was like, great. Like, this is good for the old self-confidence.
Oh, somebody said you should have went with the classical Sting music, Fred. And I can't find that. Remember when Sting made that album that was like Renaissance Festival music?
Yeah, but I mean, that's I was already married when that came out. I probably sent it to a porn star late one night on over Instagram.
What was that album? That was like the worst album.
Yes. This is a man who's had too much success.
For over 170 years, East Boston Savings Bank has been your neighborhood bank.
I don't know what that's
supporting
song.
You, your it's family, and
song.
Your business. Looking
the commercial?
Out for you,
yes.
Working
work,
hard
work,
for you
work.
Through all crises and world events and economic recessions.
Stink.
Because
Stink
of your trust
covers,
in us and our faith in you, we've made it through the thick
He's
and thin together. EBSB stands strong.
Would you let it roll, too, I guess? There.
All right. Michael on line one. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, I just wanted to let you off the hook a little bit. You know, you got to remember that all the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And we'll have Ted Johnson on at 8:20 to get his views on a bringing a new quarterback into the building. Mm-hmm. He has been through that as a player. Am I getting feedback because it's because of me?
I don't know.
Yeah, are your headphones too close to your... Are they too loud? Perhaps.
I don't know, baby. I mean, they might be too loud, but if they're too loud, you're too old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm rocking. I'm like Kiss. Yeah, so he can talk a little bit about the Cam Newton situation. And maybe he can fill us in on why hockey has not announced where they are going to play yet.
This is the most infuriating thing, and I'm starting to sound like a broken record now, so I almost hate talking about it. But after yesterday, that was even way more of a shock than I knew that the NHL was dragging their feet, but the one thing that you could hang your head on this entire time was that, listen, behind the scenes, they probably got it all figured out. One of the hub cities is definitely going to be Las Vegas, and they're just trying to figure out the whole Canada part because, you know, the country's just now, you know, working with American teams. At first, they didn't want anyone coming up here, and that I can understand. Maybe there were some things that they had to iron out. But then the news comes out yesterday that Vegas is right now on the outs. I mean, it's not official that they're not going to be one of the cities that they're going to use, but the COVID numbers have scared away the NHL. And I guess that they had the worst numbers that they've had on Friday and like the second worst this past Monday. So now the NHL is backing out from that. They're saying possibly they can do two different Canadian cities. One is going to be Toronto and Edmonton being the new second one. But on top of all of that crap Sunday that they still haven't gotten anything written in writing and any kind of dates on calendars, we find out yesterday from Bob McKenzie up at TSN that before they do any of this, they have to work out this return agreement, like the return to sports agreement, which has all of the ways that they're going to protect the guys, and then part of a CBA. So they've got to nail and hammer out a lot of the stuff that baseball had a hard time going back and forth with. And they haven't even finished that yet. And that's the first I had heard of any of that news. I thought it was just all about the city, because all we had heard was that none of the players were complaining about anything, and that was good news. To this point, I'm like, all right, that seems like we got a pretty good thing here, that nobody's complaining. Everything's going to happen as soon as the dates are there. But the reason they weren't complaining is because they had no agreement to complain about. There was nothing that was given to them, no CBA, no kind of health work plan, nothing. They've just been sitting there saying, dude, give us some information, and they've had none of it. So I don't know. It's July now. Now it's getting ludicrous that they don't have something worked out. And before yesterday, I thought that there was definitely still going to have a season. I was just frustrated that we didn't know more info. I'm a little less than 100% now that they're going to have a season.
I don't know.
This is getting a little scary now.
I don't know. McKenzie's frantic. He has been frantic for about a month.
He's got a reason to be, because every day, he even said that, he goes, every morning we wake up with a report that today is going to be the day that the NHL is going to tell us where the cities are. And for the last 3 weeks, we've been told at least at one of those days, today's the day, and they still haven't had it. And now if it was just kind of working out stuff because of, you know, where the cities are located or whatever like that, that'd be one thing. But yesterday was the first day that they mentioned COVID as being one of the problems. And now you're getting all these reports coming out. Like, did you see this one that USA Today just came out with? Like, now you've even got college football, a lot of conferences reconsidering whether they can have a season. And yeah. I'm like, oh, what are we doing?
Yeah, Arizona's got a big issue right now. And the Ivy League is considering just playing in the Ivy League this year as well. So, yeah,
there's some concerns. Put your nose in the air. Big Ivy League. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the college football, I have no doubt, is going to find a way to fleece
people.
Well,
Ohio State has already said they're going to try to get maybe 15,000, 20,000 people in.
Michigan State said 30. Yeah, Michigan State said they won 30,000 per game. And they even said how they were going to do it. They were going to give it to the donors, students, and then they would have a limited amount of season ticket holders.
Do you think they'll be tailgating? Like, yes. You think you could still tailgate and then go?
People tailgated at the NASCAR game, I think, or NASCAR race recently. Yeah, I think there were people tailgating out there.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
I don't think you can stop. Well, I guess you can shut down the parking lots, I guess, but I don't think that's going to stop people. No, yeah. I mean, if they're going to allow people, they're going to allow tailgating. I don't see what the difference is.
All right. Well, Rich, you're telling me you have something that you think I'll enjoy?
I just thought this was great. I saw something yesterday, and it's something that we've discussed, but now it's gone mainstream, Fred. There's issues, and the best man to possibly discuss them and the guy who would know the most about them did it yesterday on TV.
All right. Well, I look forward to hearing that. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.